Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri, and Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, November 25th, 2015. And as usual, we'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Calls for Health Minister Dr. David Parere Nyatwa to resign following an illegal payment from the Public Service Medical Aid Society are growing louder as strikes mount in the health sector.
With this recent strike, it actually is weight to our cause. Because initially it was only us doctors who were working in government hospitals who were saying that this minister should resign. But now even doctors are working at Christmas.
Zimbabweans in South Africa welcome Pretoria's move to extend the deadline for the issuance of outstanding special immigration permits.
As a Global Zimbabwe Forum, we applaud them for that because we've been putting across this argument to them that the time they gave people to do the application to us, it was a short time.
And the opposition National Constitutional Assembly demands evidence from the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Authority that First Lady Grace Mugabe is paying for the live coverage of her rallies.
These and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association is today reiterating its call for Health Minister David Parere Nyatwa to be fired as the situation at the Premier Service Medical Aid Society, or PSMAS, continues to unravel. An industrial action at PSMAS subsidiary Premier Service Medical Investment entered its third day today without a solution remaining elusive. With a solution remaining elusive. The government owes PSMAS almost $100 million, while the health insurer in turn owes PSMAS $44 million in unpaid subscriptions. Doctors are said to have gone for 5 months without pay, yet there are allegations that Dr. Parere Nyatwa, who is a practicing doctor, was paid in advance by PSMAS for work he had not done. Efforts to get a comment from Parere Nyatwa were futile, but civil servant groups such as the Zimbabwe Teachers Association and the Zimbabwe Health Doctors Association have been up in arms with the government over the strike as their members who are paying their subscriptions are failing to get treatment. ZHDA President Fortune Nyamande says the strike is continuing, adding their members are bitter.
I think the majority of doctors who work for PSMI, which is the veteran arm of the Premier Medical Aid Society, the Zimbabwean strike since yesterday, they are saying that they've not been paid for up to 5 months now, and some of them 5 to 6 months. So they've gone to protest. They say that they can no longer come to work.
What are the effects of this strike?
The effects definitely are that this compromises the access to health services by more than 300,000 new subscribers to the Premier Society Medical Aid Society. We are aware the PSMAS Medical Aid is no longer being accepted in other private or even government facilities. So the only hope that was left for us, the civil servants, was to access services through the Premier Services Medical Investment Institutions, like West End, Fashion Hospital, the Premier Clinics, and so forth.
Are you still insisting as a body that Dr. Parere Nyatwa must step down?
Yes, definitely. With this recent strike, it actually adds weight to our cause. Because initially it was only us doctors who were working in government hospitals who were saying that this minister should resign. But now even doctors who are working at Christmas, they're seeing the rot, the rot that is infiltrated the medical aid societies. It's clear testimony, it's clear evidence that the Minister of Health should resign and should be fired.
That was Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association President Fortune Nyamande speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The South African government has extended the deadline for the issuance of the outstanding special permits to Zimbabweans in South Africa to January 31, 2016, throwing a lifeline to those that had not yet received them. The Department of Home Affairs had initially said the extension would not run into next year. The permits are valid for 3 years. Chairman Solomon Chikowero of the Global Zimbabwe Forum is welcoming the move.
As the Global Zimbabwe Forum, we applaud them for that because we've been putting across this argument to them together with other organizations which are involved in the National Stakeholders Forum that the time they gave people to do the application, to us it was a short time because of some sectors that included one that people were asked to go and apply online. And if you look at a lot of these people, most of them, they are in the rural areas, in the farms, and they are working in remote factories. And they were not acquainted to this internet and online application. So what they needed to do was to go and find somebody who has the know-how of an internet or an internet cafe, and they have to pay those people for them to do these things for them. So it was time-consuming. So our argument was, your time is too short for this process. So they had only agreed on the extension to the end of this month. Now, the good news that they've extended it to a further date.
That was the chairman of the Global Zimbabwe Forum, Solomon Chukwuero, in Johannesburg. Meanwhile, more than 500 Nigerians deported from the United Kingdom today arrived home amid concern by some Zimbabweans living illegally in that nation that they may also be sent back home soon. According to the Daily Post of Nigeria and press reports in London, the deportees were sent home due to expired immigration papers. Indications are that Britain is planning to deport more than 29,000 Nigerians. Some Zimbabweans who spoke to Studio 7 said most of the people without proper documents are panicking, thinking that they may be next targets. The number of Zimbabweans living illegally in the United Kingdom is unknown. Immigration authorities and British parliamentarians linked to Zimbabwean issues declined to comment.
The opposition National Constitutional Assembly has written a letter to the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Authority expressing serious concern about the live coverage of rallies by First Lady Grace Mugabe, who's also the ZANU-PF Women's League boss. The NCA is accusing the First Lady, who has been on a Meet the People tour, of being divisive and promoting hate speech. The opposition party is demanding to see receipts proving Mrs. Mugabe is paying for the live coverage that the ZBC refuses to extend to opposition parties. But responding, a ZBC official told Studio 7 on condition of anonymity that Mrs. Mugabe is being covered in her capacity as the First Lady, who's also helping the government to distribute tractors secured by government from Brazil. NCA spokesman Madok Chibasa tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that ZBC's actions are unconstitutional.
We are mainly citing the issue of the rallies covered by ZBC addressed by the First Lady. We feel that they've been overdoing it. And besides that, we are also wondering in terms of how much ZANU-PF is paying to ZBC for them to do that coverage. So as NCA, we are quite not pleased in terms of this bias coverage. So we're just raising it here with the chief executive officer of ZBC to say that we really believe that they've now really exceeded the expected limits in terms of being partisan.
Have you received any response from ZBC?
We are yet to receive any response as we delivered our letter yesterday to them. But we believe that they will take seriously our concern, and we are a stakeholder as a non-opposition political party in Zimbabwe. And these are legitimate concerns we have, and we guess that most Zimbabweans are also wondering the same, to say, like, is this really the only need that we have to have the First Lady?
That was NCA spokesman Madok Chibasa speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Meanwhile, the First Lady continues to dole out food to ZANU-PF supporters across the country, and tomorrow she'll be doing the same at State House, except this time it's the journalists who are on the receiving end, literally. Several reporters received phone calls from Mrs. Mugabe's office today to come and pick up the groceries that she promised them at a rally in Mbare Sebab last weekend. One skeptical foreign correspondent told Studio 7 the First Lady might be trying to curry favor with journalists as she presses ahead with her crusade to reshape the politics of ZANU-PF. Still, the reporter said he will go and receive his share.
More than 94% of deaf children in Zimbabwe are out of school due to lack of qualified teachers and resources. Parliament was told today, as Ivan Chifera reports from Harare.
Vachipa umbo mairao ne matambudziko anotarisa nevana ava kukomiti yeparamende inoona nezvedzidzo imwe nengwe sangano iri amai Barbara Nyangairi vati zvinosuisa kuti vana vanodarika zvikamu makumi mapfumbamwe nezvina kubva muzana havasi kuenda kuchikoro. Vati kunyange zvikamu zvitanhatu nechidimbu kubva muzana vari kuenda kuchikoro. Barbara Nyangairi of the Deaf Zimbabwe Trust, an organization representing parents of deaf students, told the National Assembly's Education Committee that only a small fraction of the 85,965 deaf children are attending primary and secondary schools in the country.
Of these children, only 6.4% are attending school, primary and secondary school.
She said the country does not have specialized schools for deaf children, and those in school are being taught by teachers who are not qualified to teach sign language. This, she said, is causing problems for the children. Nyangairi appealed to the Education Ministry to recruit sign language teachers and also ensure the teaching of sign language is mandatory, as it is now one of the 16 official languages in Zimbabwe.
Sign language needs to be used as a language of instruction for deaf children in school, just like any other language that is used as a language of instruction. Without sign language, deaf children are not able to access educational content.
Primary and Secondary Education Ministry's Policy Planning Director, Peter Mzavazi, admitted the shortcomings in the system. He said the ministry is working on rectifying the problem next year. He said under the new education policy to be implemented from 2016, the government will ensure that every school in the country has a teacher for children with disabilities. Zimbabwe has 8,500 schools. Meanwhile, Agriculture Minister Joseph Made told Parliament today that the government will support 300,000 vulnerable families with agriculture inputs this season. He said the Social Welfare Department will select beneficiaries. In another debate on the welfare of war veterans, lawmakers asked Deputy War Veterans Minister Chinga Dube to use radio stations like the Voice of America Studio 7 to reach out to the former liberation war fighters, as the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation's signal is weak and cannot be accessed from all parts of the country. Dube said there were many ways of disseminating information in Zimbabwe, which includes radio and television stations, as well as newspapers. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
Zimbabweans in New Zealand source books for struggling schools back home.
A But first, a look at regional and international news.
Pope Francis has arrived in Kenya at the start of a tour of Africa that also includes stops in Uganda and the Central African Republic.
The Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for Tuesday's bombing of a bus carrying members of Tunisia's elite presidential guard that killed at least 12 people.
And the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said Wednesday that Turkey's downing of a Russian warplane looks like a planned provocation, but that Russia is not going to war with Turkey.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're broadcasting on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
Zimbabwe joins the rest of the world today in launching the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence today, with evidence on the ground showing that women and girls living with disabilities are more vulnerable to gender-based violence. On the other hand, rural girls say they are on the receiving end as they are being forced into early marriages by their struggling families. Many have dropped out of school as their parents cannot afford basics such as sanitary pads, as Arthur Chigoriwa reports from Lion's Den in Mashonaland West.
Around the world, 246 million children experience gender-based violence at or on their way to school every year, according to a report by the United Nations Human Rights Council. Activists say gender-based violence in schools and at home is happening in every country in the world right now. And as Zimbabwe joins the rest of the world marking the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence campaign, young rural girls say they have another problem stopping them from going to school, the shortage of sanitary wear that they want to be addressed as a matter of urgency. At a recent event to commemorate the girl child at Lion's Den in Mashonaland West, Pamoacha, a group looking into issues affecting the girl child, called on girls to start using homemade reusable sanitary pads to avert their problem. The mostly rural girls who attended the event welcomed the introduction of reusable pads that they said are cost-effective. Rosalyn Mamvura of Alaska says she now uses the reusable pads that save money and are hygienic.
Organization. It does a lot of activities so as to empower a girl child. They do train Vanaskan about sanitary way, whereas girls are being trained to make reusable pads, which go for a 1 year. Whereas you find that sometimes Vanaskan, we find my difficulties in buying my pads every month.
Jeline Maponga from Murereka District in the province praised girl child programs, saying they are empowering young girls to fight off gender-based violence, adding they also enlighten them about their rights.
In terms of empowering them to know that in the society they are being recognized as compared in the past years, what girls were not even heard. Like me personally, I'm an ample testimony of this girl child empowerment. I was an orphan and I couldn't stand in front of people. But with the coming up of the girl child empowerment, Shandi Bazira to build confidence and to know that I can make something, she's very tangible and she's not appreciated.
Pamoasha Director Precious Nyamukondiwa said the organization decided to start producing reusable sanitary pads after realizing that most girls were using unhygienic materials like newspaper for their menstruation periods, with some being forced into illicit relationship to access such basic things.
Period on menstruation day is a very traumatic time moment for most girls because they don't even have anything to use. So I saw we teach them to can I a dollar, they couldn't have no tenga M shop. Why don't you make your own washable sanitary pad? And it's so hygienic, they wash it and they line it up out in the sun so that they can reuse it from time to time.
A Makonde policewoman who did not want to be named because she is not authorized to speak with the media said there is an upsurge of cases of child abuse, gender-based violence, rape of juveniles and the early marriages of the girl child. Problems, she said, could be tied to poverty currently affecting many families in the country. Various organizations working with women and the girls who attended the commemorations said they will be advocating for stiffer sentences for rapists and perpetrators of gender violence during the 16 days of activism, which starts today. The 16 days of activism is a time to galvanize the action to end violence against women and girls around the world, they said. The 16 days campaign begins on the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, November 25, and ends on the International Human Rights Day, December 10, and emphasizes that gender-based violence in its many forms is a human rights violation. Reporting for Studio 7 in Lyons, Den, Mashonaland and West, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Zimbabweans living in New Zealand operating under the auspices of Zimbabwe Rural Schools Library Trust are mobilizing reading material for disadvantaged schools back home. The project is run by Zimbabwean-trained librarian Dryden Kunaka. Kunaka, who speaks to Studio 7's Gibbs Dube, has been playing a key role in sourcing books that will soon be shipped to Zimbabwe by his organization, which is registered in Zimbabwe and New Zealand.
This is a long-term program to try and mobilize resources to enable rural children in Zimbabwe access to reading material, with the hope of also building libraries in rural Zimbabwe. As I've said, it's a long-term thing, but we do one step at a time. The trust was formed in 2002 in Zimbabwe, and it is registered in Zimbabwe. And we also registered the same trust here in 2003. So the trust is now registered in two countries, in Zimbabwe, the benefiting country, and in New Zealand. And we're even looking at setting it up in other countries as well, in the diaspora. The aim being to mobilize resources to send to children in Zimbabwe and let them enjoy some library facilities.
So now, looking at what you're trying to do, what is the aim really here?
The aim is empowering children in Zimbabwe through literature, because we believe that reading develops the child's intellect. Reading enhances their performance in school. Reading opens their eyes to the wider world. So we believe that the children need access to information. So that's why we are trying to get books and in the long term build libraries so that they can enjoy the same facilities as some of the urban counterparts, so that they can enjoy the same facilities as the children in the developed world.
So now we see that there are so many people that are interested in this kind of project. And some of them are some Indians who are based in New Zealand. We are talking here of Shefali and Shivani Singha, who are actually the twins. You know, and this is causing a lot of, interest among New Zealanders. So tell us, it seems as if you really hit it very well here.
Yes, these girls are just amazing. When we launched the trust last year in New Zealand, their mother, who happens to work for an NGO, was invited to attend the launch event. So they came along with the mother and they heard our story and they took it upon themselves to help other children who are less privileged. And so they've been mobilizing resources. They set themselves a target to raise $500 to buy books in Zimbabwe, not books in New Zealand, but to buy books in Zimbabwe. And through that process, they'll be promoting the publishing industry in Zimbabwe. They've now met their target. And at the moment, we are liaising with our trust in Zimbabwe to identify a school which will receive the money to buy books. In fact, what they've done is we have liaised with the Zimbabwe Publishing House so that they can provide books with that money, and then the money will be sent to them, and then the books will go to the school. So this is something that is really unheard of. These girls don't have any relationship with Zimbabwe, but they just heard the Zimbabwean story, and they took action. And in the process, they've inspired other Zimbabwean children here. My own daughter has pledged to also raise $500 for Nyamasanga School in Chitomborwizi to buy books. So I think as more people get aware, I hope that we'll get support from many other Zimbabweans in the diaspora and other people as well, just like as New Zealanders here have been very supportive.
At the end of the day, I guess normally you will have a message for Zimbabweans, especially those that are living in rural areas who could be beneficiaries of this program. So what is your message to them?
There are people out there who are willing to help, but the children in Zimbabwe must take reading seriously. Yes, I know that some of them don't have the resources, but we are working out very hard to ensure that we try to get the resources and provide them to them so that they can read. And once those who are fortunate enough to get those reading resources, they must use them.
So far, so good. How many books have you sent to Zimbabwe?
We haven't sent any books to Zimbabwe from New Zealand as yet, but the trust in Zimbabwe has been getting books from other donors. And I think so far we have distributed books to 12 schools in the rural areas. And also for your information, we have launched the Zivamidiyako program. The Zivamidiyako program is aimed at Zimbabweans to give back to the rural schools that they went to. Dr. Gurama Tunu, he is our patron, and he has taken the lead to build a massive library at the school that he went to in Nyazura.
That was Dryden Kunaka, a Zimbabwean-trained librarian, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Hamilton in New Zealand.
And in sports news, football fans have been presented with yet another so-called battle for Zimbabwe before the curtain comes down on the 2015 soccer season, as reporter Michael Kariati tells us how.
Babafield Stadium will once again be reverberating to the tunes of Boso and Dimbare after the two biggest football teams in the country were paired against each other in the semi-finals of the Net One Easy Call Cup. This follows the draw conducted in Harare, which has also set another mouth-watering clash involving 2015 Kasolaga Premier Soccer League champions Chicken Inn and steam-rolling Caps United. Whichever way the draw would have gone, top-class football had already been guaranteed after the most exciting teams at the moment had sailed through to the last four. Premier Soccer League's Rodro Tabe tells us who is playing who.
Highlanders FC will play Dynamos FC, and in the other semi-final, Caps United will be at home and they will play Chicken Inn FC.
Both games will be played at Babafield Stadium on December 5 and December 6. However, the PSL have not yet decided which game will be played first, as Tabe explained.
We'll communicate which team will play on the 5th, which team will play on the 6th.
Highlanders Vice Chairman Muntuni Mpofu admitted that the game against Dimbare will not be easy, but promised that his boys would be going all flat out to earn themselves an early Christmas present.
It's what actually I'd wished for, because what we wanted is to get rid of Dynamos and make sure that when we get to the final, we're done and dusted with them. So I think to us it was a very good draw.
Although Boso have not beaten Dimbare in a serious competitive game since 2006, club treasurer Webster Marechera said the game would be tough for them as Highlanders are on a roll.
I wasn't anticipating to see this kind of a draw. Because it will be a mammoth task for us to go into the finals.
Chicken Inn were not represented at the draw as they are still celebrating their Kasolaga Premier Soccer League title. But Caps United Chief Executive Officer Joe Makubire said they were happy to be drawn against the Zimbabwe champions. He said his team would be out to prove a point.
Caps will play the best of football and provide the best of entertainment and also make Easy Call a great brand.
The semi-finals will immediately be followed by the final on December 13 at a venue still to be decided. The winners of the tournament will receive $80,000, while the runners-up will get $50,000. The losing semi-finalists will get $30,000. This means at the moment, all the four teams still in the competition are guaranteed of $30,000 each. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, saying good night.